I'm Jason Gore.
I'm Mike Lisk.
I'm Pat Byrne.
I'm Geneva.
I'm Jason Sims.
And you're listening to Slice of Life, the best show fill-in show. Let's go to our Slice of Life gang already in conversation.
Yum. So the phones aren't on.
Couldn't still get Avalanche
Bob on space? No. No. We are recording, so that's going to be on it.
This is the Mark Maron approach. He starts it recording.
Yeah,
right. You get right in it.
Before you know it, we know who your guys are.
Yeah, who's your guys? Avalanche Bob. Hi, everyone. I'm Jason Gore, Dudio. We've got AP Mike.
Hello.
We've got Pat Burn.
Is this it, or should we do a cold start?
Do you want to start over?
Let's do it. Yes, do it.
Okay, let's start.
Let's do it. Should we open with Hound, or what do you want to do?
No, we don't need the, there's no. So here's what's going on.
The tensions are going to rise. Yeah, people are going to see it in the show.
Here's what's happening right now.
Pat supposedly gets along with everybody, but I think we're seeing some tension.
Oh, he yelled at me
Jason
twice.
Jason and Pat right now.
Yeah, Pat yelled at me twice.
So that myth of Pat
posted, or
Pat gets along with everybody.
Over? I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. No. So, no. I think we're in it. I think it's more embarrassing to start over than just continue on where we are.
How would they know?
Mm-hmm. They know, because we're not editing really anything on this. Because
Pat edits later on. So
but he's literally going to have nothing to edit out. Nothing whatsoever. So you're hearing Pat compose a tweet. Let me also introduce Geneva.
Hey.
And Jason Sims.
Hello, everybody.
And, yeah.
A.K.A. Jason from Alabama.
A.K.A. Jason from Alabama. So we planned on doing a fill-in show tonight. We get to the studio, and internet is completely down. Phone lines completely down. So we are at the mercy of a large media conglomerate to hopefully fix it sometime in the next few days. But until then, we have nothing. We have no callers. We had a great topic.
This is like a campfire.
This is
I had two topics.
You have Jesus, we have two topics.
I have multiple topics.
I had a topic too.
Oh my God, three topics. What about you guys? Did you bring topics tonight?
I'm going to say that we did.
This would have been so good.
Yeah.
I prepped Geneva. She's got a topic.
God, you guys all want to retweet this.
This makes for good podcasting,
yeah,
guys.
Right. Our internet is completely down, and we will be pre-recording a show right now that will be posted tomorrow. It's as many characters as I could fit in this version of Twitter that I have
And now yet. when you hear this and you saw the tweet,
yeah,
you can. So the loop will close.
It's all connected.
Yeah, it's all connected.
I don't even know. Hold on, I got to turn my internet off.
Check the timestamp for 9:25 p.m.
Okay, let's try this.
When this was tweeted.
Here we go. Now I'm going off of my.
Oh, Bob already made the artwork for tonight.
Yeah.
That's right. I got to post it to Instagram too. Oh man,
nope,
this is
don't.
Great radio here.
Okay, here we go. So if you're now listening, you now know the time. Timestamp it. I just retweeted it.
Yeah.
There you go.
9:25.
All right, I'm posting it.
This is good. If this doesn't get us in Vulture.
Should we just restart?
No, we're in it, Pat. We are in it.
But as an editor, I don't know when I should fade this up. I really don't.
You don't even have to fade a thing. You just.
You really think we just.
It's a slice of life.
You basically plop. It is a slice. Welcome to Slice of Life with AP Mike, Pat, Dudio, Geneva, and Jason from Huntsville, Alabama.
First time in studio.
First time in studio. Yeah. What an experience this is, right?
Yeah.
Is this everything you dreamed it would be?
It's like the best show museum. It really is.
Yeah. Oh no, it is. You've got everything right there.
Oh, absolutely. Oh yeah. I just noticed.
And you've got Billy back here and the Alf puppet. Slice of life. We really, we want to show it all here.
Yeah, showing it all.
On
warts and all, as they say.
Warts and all on Slice of Life.
Pat, have you updated on Reddit yet?
No,
are you doing that? Or are you?
We don't do.
Oh. So
I check the Newbridge Reddit from time to time.
Okay,
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I'm a moderator on there, but I don't know what power that gives me. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Almost 3 years to the day since I was here last.
Really?
Taylor.
Okay.
Gonda.
What was that?
That was
2016. 2016.
A different age.
Yeah.
So you were here. Obama was still president. Yes.
And the internet worked.
Oh, my God. And the internet worked.
It was a whole different time.
You could do whatever you wanted.
Cash, jobs.
Oh, you could do whatever you wanted. The UK didn't even think about leaving.
I know.
The EU.
There's so many possibilities.
Yeah. Just. So when you left, you took the dreams with you, Geneva.
I know.
So, Mike, you have two topics. We might as well blow them on all of us.
I'll throw them out there.
Yeah.
Roseanne Cash.
Where did that come from? Does she have a song called Two Topics?
No, never mind.
Now, this is a song. It's called Two Topics. I wrote with my daddy.
It's country mode, right? Come on, guys.
I watched the first episode. A lot of racism.
Twigs together.
And
I started backwards. I started on the Garth Brooks stuff, and then I worked backwards.
That's how you do it, because you want to start with the king.
Yeah. Did they get to the Chris Gaines stuff at all?
Didn't touch it, but well, honestly, the Garth Brooks part of it actually made me be like, I kind of like this guy now. Because he loved Queen, Jason.
Ken Burns is going to do a whole series Chris Gaines.
He wants to have his own Chris Gaines. Yeah.
Well, there's a Garth Brooks thing on A&E or something. I'll watch it after the Ken Burns.
Do you ever watch, Trisha Yearwood has a cooking show, and Garth appears on that every now and then, and she basically exclusively makes what Kristen, my wife, and I refer to as football food. So it's like, she'll make a giant thing of like football tailgating snacks in the shape of a stadium, and Garth will come in at the end, and he's like, oh man, football food. You know, like you can tell that he's so sick of eating the fartiest food that Trisha Yearwood constantly cooks. Football food again.
And then Hank Williams Jr. comes running and goes, are you ready for the football food?
It says something really racist and walks away.
Yes. Right.
Bocefa style. Okay, Mike, let's blow them.
What's the first one? Well, humiliation was going to be the topic, which I wish, right on target with this show. I wish we had some callers, because I think we could have tapped into something.
Yeah.
But I had one of the most humiliating experiences last week that I've ever had. I've been telling you behind the scenes the saga of my new TV.
Right.
I had a 40-inch Samsung TV for 20-some-odd years. It finally died. So now it wasn't even a smart TV. So now I'm entering the new world of a smart TV.
Mm-hmm. You were excited about this TV.
I was excited.
I haven't heard you talk about such excitement.
Have you guys seen the movie 2001? It was 2019.
Yeah. So I was excited. I ended up getting a television larger. Mm-hmm. I had a 40-inch, and when you get to the showroom, 40-inch TVs look puny.
Yeah.
So they do. So I didn't go crazy. I mean, I have a small living room. Mm-hmm. So I went up to 55. And that is respectable. And part of the reason that I bought the TV I did was because it had a stand. A lot of the new TVs, they have stands that are so wide apart that they don't fit on a smaller surface. So I only have like a 2-foot surface. I have like a stereo cabinet. My TV sat on it. It was great. No problem. Okay. So the stand was actually important to the purchase.
Right.
So I bought this TV. It was like the only one that had a stand that I could use. There were two connections. I had to connect 4 screws in the bottom of the stand and 4 screws in the back of the TV. The screws were this size. It's very small.
For the listener, Mike is making a very gesture with his hand. These are tiny screws.
Maybe a quarter-inch screws.
Okay.
And then, like, maybe an inch-size screw.
Okay.
So.
What if we just had a podcast of you describing screws?
Well, okay.
Different pieces of hardware.
But maybe this will help somebody out in their next TV installation.
Zip ties.
This will be helpful. So. You know, I looked at the diagram for the assembly and so on, but in retrospect, I went with intuition. Wouldn't you use the larger screw to screw into the back of the TV rather into the bottom of a stand? Doesn't that make sense to you?
Unless the...
To bear the weight. It was a heavy TV.
But unless not, the bottom of it has to bear the weight.
Well, the screws in the bottom, they're going up. So, like, the stand, the weight is going down.
Are
on
they
the
going
stand.
Up into the TV?
No, just into
just
the stand.
Just into the stand.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird.
So you got the weight bearing down on the stand, which, you know, I felt like when I was able to put it up, it was stable mm-hmm. for about a month. And then catastrophe.
Four sweet weeks. Sweetest Whoa. Weeks of AP Mike's life.
Four sweet weeks of, yeah. well, there were frustrations. One of the streaming services apparently isn't compatible with that TV. Who knew? Yeah, it's like I'm in a whole new world.
What streaming service that wasn't compatible with
Criterion? Criterion, okay, apparently, wow. you have to have certain TVs for that, which I didn't know when I made the purchase.
I'm not going to buy a specific TV for the Criterion channel.
I think it depends on what zip code you buy the TV
yeah.
for the Criterion collection.
So anyway, in my mind, I had a defective stand because the screws didn't really fit well into the bottom.
I don't think they sent you the right screws. I think you probably should have had four big screws.
And the funny thing is, when I saw those small screws, I actually went to my hardware store because I thought the same thing. I thought,
like, look at these screws.
I'm looking at these screws. I'm like, they weren't fitting right, you know, which should have been to a normal person a tip off.
Here's the thing. You went a lot of places. You really covered all of your bases for this TV.
Uh-huh. No, I went to PC Richards, which
right.
now I see they're having an anniversary special.
Good.
I could have got a better deal if I waited 2 months.
Yeah.
But anyway.
They're like, sturdier stands. PC Richard and son.
But I
demanded them.
I was so convinced I had a defective stand, I brought the stand to PC Richards last week, right before the show. I told you that.
You do not mention the son at all. Anytime you mention PC Richards, you forget the son.
Oh, okay, yeah. And he's the one running the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Danny.
Yeah. So, you know his name?
And son.
Yeah, Danny son.
Yeah, but there's only one son, apparently.
What does PC stand for?
Yeah.
Do we know?
Probably political correctness.
How could they be around?
Political correctness, Richards and son. Son.
How could they be around 110 years? In business. What were they selling?
They weren't selling TV stands.
Things to keep
they sold the stand first.
Like one of those refrigerators?
I'll tell you what they sold. They sold a little thing called a wagon wheel. Okay. And I know a little song about a wagon wheel, and it goes a little something like this. Hit it, Jason.
Wagon wheel.
That's Zach Brown, right?
Yeah.
Well, it was technically Dylan was a
co-writer. Right, yes,
you're
right.
There's a whole legal story
with
that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah.
But enough.
Oh man, football food again.
So anyway, I
what did they say? Like, what face did they give you when you walked in with the stand and just like plopped it on their counter?
Well, yeah. I mean, I got the brush off. You know, basically they're looking at, oh, there's a crazy man in the store. You know,
right.
And basically, you know, I even brought my Phillips screwdriver. I brought the screws, like, and I put it there.
To possibly use as a weapon.
I wanted to make my point that these screws were the wrong screws for the stand.
Right.
That's kind of a brandishing stance
that
you're taking with the screwdriver.
I just lost a very expensive television. I was mourning. And I wanted to find, you know, some sort of,
they had their hand
justice.
On like the shotgun under the counter the whole time.
And one guy actually attempted to put the screws in. He was having difficulties, you know. But then the brush off was, they said, well, a technician has to come to your house.
So has the technician come to your house yet?
Well, this is where it all.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Goes down.
Oh no.
So some smart ass technician comes to my apartment. And he starts giving me some attitude. You know, I put the screws out for both sets of screws.
But who does he work for?
He works for PC Richards, yeah.
Oh, he's a PC Richards.
Yeah, just a sort
and son.
Yeah.
Wait, so could you turn my mic up a little bit?
I'll do it with you. Three, two, one. That's their jingle.
Poorest whistling I've ever heard.
That's how Jason and I used to warm up before we did our show. I can't whistle. I can just make the SH sound quietly.
PC Richard and Son. That's, yeah. It's like the ghost of the sun chiming in.
It's the ghost of the Whistler sun.
Yeah. Okay. So this PC Richards
He shows up.
Technician is there.
Kept me waiting all morning, you know. They give you the window.
They keep changing the window.
Yeah, but, you know, to their credit, they told me early what the window was.
You should have got that guy out here for our internet.
No, he'll be, yeah.
No, we're gonna he's the
same guy.
He's probably, well, I'll continue. So anyway, he comes in. I start making a case for the defective stand. He looks at the screws, and he's already saying that I've got the wrong screws up there. So he was a little off. I mean, I wasn't trying to scam anybody. I had the screws up, both sets of screws.
Okay.
But then...
So he was trying to tell you those weren't the right screws for
he was being a little suspicious.
How old was this guy?
He's probably about my age, maybe a little younger.
Okay.
And so he's very suspicious. But then he sort of... Well, he's been doing this for his career.
Right.
I don't know how long he's been doing it.
Yeah.
But he knows more about...
Over 100 years.
He knows more about what screws go where in a TV than I do, apparently. So basically...
Does he?
Well, he soon proved it very quickly.
Okay.
So he did some pictures to see that my TV was cracked, and apparently if you have a cracked TV, it's not even worth fixing, because it's going to cost you as much to fix it as it would cost to buy a new one. So he says that to me, and then he takes out his drill, and
he rams it into the TV.
No, he takes the drill, and he uses the tiny screws to screw into the back of the TV.
Okay.
And the larger screws... to screw into the stand.
Okay.
And guess what? And it worked.
Oh.
So I had the wrong screws in the wrong spots.
No, Mike.
Yeah.
So did he laugh the whole time when he did it?
He to his credit, he kept the laughter inside. But I wasn't done.
But he lost it when he walked outside.
Well, that, in my mind, I became like the laughing stock. You know, he took that story, but I wasn't done.
Right.
I gave him more fuel for his his routine, his comedy routine that he was going to bring back to laugh it up.
Right.
So, you know, he does this.
Okay.
And then I'm still not convinced. You know, I'm like, I grab the instruction sheet, and I'm like, you know, the illustration wasn't very clear. You know, like, the illustration, you could barely see that one screw was larger than the other. So I go running after him down the stairs of my apartment building. I'm like, sir, I'm still trying to make my case.
Right.
You know, that the instruction thing was wrong, right? So then I show it to him, and yes, it's got the illustrations, but then it's got a label A, the A screws, and then the B screws. And then you flip over the illustration, and there's the A screws, the tiny screws.
Oh, man.
And the B screws go in the bottom.
Mike.
Yeah, yeah. So I gave him, like, even an additional.
Oh, he's telling everyone at the service center.
Yeah, I was the laughing
stock. So there's no hope.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah. And he's walking around my apartment. He's very comfortable in my apartment. He's, like, throwing a TV.
Takes a juice out of the fridge.
He's throwing a TV on my bed at one point. He's throwing a TV on the floor in my living room. He kept moving the TV around for some reason.
Because there was no fixing it.
He's very familiar, and, you know, and I'm sure, he took that story back. And I'm the idiot who used the wrong screws. Used the wrong screws in the stand and in the TV.
Well, it's a good thing that a lot of other people aren't going to find out about this.
Yeah, I know, until tomorrow.
That'd be
so
terrible.
If you have an LG, the NanoCell, brand new, 2019.
I'm listening.
Beware, you know. They've got these tiny screws and these larger screws in there.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
The moment you said that, somebody looked over at their LG Nano cell, and it just came crashing down.
Yeah,
in solidarity.
Then I went online to do a little research, and I guess even when they are screwed incorrectly, they're kind of wobbly. But I can't make that case, you know, when I put the wrong screws in, and this guy nailed me.
So are you going to hit up the PC Richards and Son
sale?
No, I can't go back there.
No, I can't go back there and hold my head up. I mean, I was too humiliated. They're not getting more money from me.
I'm so sorry, Mike.
Yeah.
What a slice of life
you just gave us. Wouldn't it be humiliating to have hired someone to put it together, like a TaskRabbit? Because I just had a guy TaskRabbit all my stuff.
There's nothing humiliating
about that. No, in retrospect, you know, it wouldn't have taken very long. It didn't take me that long to do it. Like I said, there's only two sets of screws you had to plug in. But yeah.
Oh, Mike. So when are you have your eyes on another brand?
Well, I've got something coming Thursday.
Oh, you already have something on the way.
I was humbled by the experience.
Okay. What brand did you go into now?
Back down to size, and I went with Sony.
Okay.
And
those TVs come with one screw.
Do they? Okay.
No, I don't.
Well, that'll be easy.
I don't know. But no holes.
The stand is compatible.
Yeah.
So I'm back to 49 inches.
RIP your TV.
Yeah.
The LG Nano.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. At least, you know, I'm trying to, you know, be on the positive side. I'm not a gambler.
Yeah.
You know, think of all the vices people have. You know, they've thrown away money. I had a TV for a month. You know, it's like, you know, gamblers, you know.
Yeah.
They'll piss away 500
right.
grand, you know.
Conan had the Tonight Show for only 6 more months than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, maybe, I mean, they say it comes in threes, so your TV, our internet and phones.
Oh, no.
And what's the third one?
Oh, no.
Well, actually, Mike had a scary thing happen to someone he knew at Mass's Tavern today. I got texted by 3 FOTs that there was a second robbery in Mass's history.
Yeah,
and
were you there?
No.
He was okay, but he knew the guy working there.
Yeah, last night there was a robbery at Mass's.
Gunpoint knife.
Yeah, there was a gun involved this time.
Oh my god!
The last time the guy had a tire iron.
Okay,
but he did damage. He hurt people with it. And
really?
Yeah.
What did he hit? Some of the guys at the bar.
He hit the bartender, and there happened to be a guy in a bathroom at the time that the robbery started. This is the first robbery.
Yeah.
And he came out into the middle of a robbery, and he got bashed.
Oh, my God.
But this time it was two robbers. They were wearing a mask.
One mask? They were sharing a mask?
No, they were wearing masks. Okay. And
they're going to take the money to buy a second. You start your business.
Yeah.
I don't mean to make light of it.
They're moving it up. Right.
One of them had a gun. They took everybody down in the basement.
What?
Yeah. And they...
Mattis has a basement?
It's the back room.
That's the shocking part.
It actually has a basement and a sub-basement.
What's in the sub-basement?
That's where the...
Guns?
Keys to the third sub-basement.
That's where the... actually, I think the modems to the TVs are down there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And the juices for the juice gun. You know, the mixer.
You had a juice gun? You could have fought back.
No.
So they took everyone to the basement.
Yeah.
How many people are we talking?
They were trying to get into there is a lockbox down there, but nobody has a key. You know, only my cousin and
do they know who did this? Is it somebody that had like Massa's knowledge to know about the basement?
No, well I the last I heard from the owner,
there are drinks and snacks in there, guys. I don't know if they probably didn't say anything about it.
I just wanted to. Is that a good way of telling us to leave?
There's snacks. There's a lot of stuff in there, guys. This is a serious story.
But the last update I heard was that the police. I mean, there were cameras in the bar, but they had masks on. They had a gun. When they didn't get the information they needed for the lockbox and nobody had a key, they pistol whipped.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Tommy, the bartender.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, but he's doing okay. I mean, he didn't go to the hospital last night, but he went today. And they roughed up. There was a customer going by. They locked the front door of the bar when they took people into the basement. Somebody started knocking on the door when they found it locked. The robbers went up there. They dragged a woman and her dog into the bar, threw her on the floor. So, yeah, it was it was kind of a scary experience, you know. And they did all this for a few hundred bucks.
That's all that was in the lockbox.
You know, I don't know what they're thinking. Robbing a corner bar, you know, it's not like
a dive. Small place.
Yeah, well, easy on the dive part.
Sorry.
You know, women still go to the bar.
Yeah, how dare you?
Actually, I want to say this. If I shouldn't have brought it up on air, I apologize. But I had a number of FOTs that did reach out to me and the Best Show account. Sending us this thing. We are completely aware of it. We cannot be more aware of it, but Mike is okay, and that's why I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, people reached out to me, and I appreciate that. They were concerned. Everybody's doing better today, and unfortunately,
that's tough.
Police are on the case, and apparently they've got some positive leads, so something might happen quickly with this.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
In hindsight, you actually should have opened with this one and then went into PC Richards.
But there was I did see one of the articles on NewJersey.com said something about the famous Master's Tavern. I was like, oh, okay. It's famous now.
It's famous. I've heard there are shirts.
Okay.
Chuck Wepner and the Best Show is the connect.
We never got the lines outside that I hoped, you know, like Carlos Bakery and Hoboken.
Because
of the television show.
Yeah, but now tourists think that the one in Port Authority is the real Carlo's Bakery.
Seriously?
Every time I walk by there, I hear so many tourists just like, yeah, this is the real Carlo's. This is the one that's on the TV show.
In Port Authority.
In Port Authority.
I didn't know they had a bakery in there.
Yeah, okay, it's in the corner, the front corner of Port Authority.
Oh, okay.
That's like,
it's run by mice.
It is. It is.
Tiny mice.
Yeah.
Just like in Cinderella.
And they all talk like they all talk like the cake boss.
Yeah.
So
my favorite episode is the one where he has to make a really big elaborate cake and in a short amount of time and he gets frustrated about it. And him and his team have to really crack. Yeah. You guys ever seen that one?
I think I saw that.
I think that's a rare episode.
My favorite episode is when they have to move a cake.
Oh.
You have to put it in a van and move it.
Yeah.
And
That is good.
High stakes.
That was and it was winter.
Oh,
I remember that one.
Yeah.
It's always winter on the Cake Boss.
I'm saying, are you effing kidding me? They gotta put this effing cake in this effing van. It won't even effing fit. Effing kidding me?
When I worked near there, me and a coworker, we had to bring back a Halloween cake.
Mm-hmm.
And it was heavy. I mean, you know, that icing, it weighs a lot. There's so
Halloween
much,
icing is it's heavy,
so,
man.
There's so much icing on that cake.
It's fondant, right?
What's that?
Is it the fondant?
Yeah, fondant.
Do you say fondant or fondant?
I don't even know what that word means.
You're not supposed to
eat it. It depends on how expensive the cake is.
Yeah.
If it's very expensive, it's fondant.
Yeah.
Fondante?
But that was a journey, carrying that cake back, you know. And then you eat it, and it's like, what? This is all icing. It was disgusting. I thought it was disgusting. But then it became a successful television show.
So
it's fondant. You don't see that, but loop it out.
I'm turning off.
It wakes the cake on down.
I'm turning off both mics. Sorry.
The cake boss now.
That's what happens. We are streaming this
into the van.
Oh God, good Lord! I am streaming this on Instagram right now, so people
Instagram.
Can at least see what's going on.
Hello.
Hi, Instagram. This is going to be a podcast tomorrow. You're listening to Slice of Life.
Also, this is a surprise that Tom isn't here. We never even explained that today.
Yeah, no Tom tonight, guys.
Tom.
But we do have Slice of Life.
Yeah, because this would be going on if Tom was here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Great stuff. So I'm ending this on Instagram. We're continuing here. And you guys will be able to listen to this tomorrow on the Best Show feed. So fantastic. Share to story. Done.
Please come to one of our shows, Geneva.
Yeah.
You need to be in a comedy audience.
Yeah, speaking of shows, Jason Gore's Midlife Crisis, October 28th at UCB Hell's Kitchen, 6 p.m. 6 p.m. It's going to be a good one, guys.
And then you hop
it's going to be a good one.
And then you hop into a yellow cab and you've gone over to the Knitting Factory for a sticker treat.
What time is that at?
Yours is at 6, right?
6, yeah.
Mine's
technically,
like,
mine starts at 6:30.
Okay, mine starts at like 8:30, 9.
Is that doable?
Yeah, that's doable. That
in
is doable.
In the city of New York.
Yeah. Take a subway.
In a New York.
Take
minute.
An Uber. Take a Lyft. Take a Juno.
Yeah.
Take a Via.
Support the cabs. Take a yellow cab, guys.
Take a yellow. Well, yeah.
The taxi unions. You know,
take a cab.
They need it.
Yeah, I mainly take cabs. Did
the factory close for a while?
They reopened in Williamsburg about 6 years ago.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Down the street from where I'm staying. Well, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Well,
when are you? You're leaving tomorrow, right? Okay, so you're checking out. Good.
Okay, maybe I won't say this on the air, but I have been here.
You're saying this on the air.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Okay.
But people have tweeted my location before because they said, I think I know that. I think I saw you. Were you on this street? And then put it on Twitter. And I was like,
so you've been doxxed.
Yeah, pretty much. Like
by FOTS or okay.
Yes. With someone saying, like, hey, I saw you. I think it was you. You were wearing this, this, and this. Never. And you were on this street.
You were alone, so anyone could come up to you.
Well, I'm a little upset because I've never been doxxed. And I'm willing to take all comers.
No. You never want to be doxxed.
I got a chip, buddy.
I hope no one's at home.
Yeah, someone's like, yeah, Geneva wants to be doxxed. I'll dox Geneva.
No.
How about you guys? What's the most humiliating thing that's ever happened to you? You guys got one? Pat, Geneva, Jason?
I wasn't prepared to bare my soul, but I'll try to think about it.
Think on it.
And I thought it would have worked with the callers because
I got one.
They could do it anonymously. They could do it anonymously. Yeah. It's a little easier.
Then we'll just close our eyes and we won't know who's saying it.
I've got one.
Okay. I don't know who that is, but go ahead and say it.
This is Sam from Mississippi.
Hi, Sam.
Hey. I had e-cigarettes for... No, it's not my e-cigarettes. Oh, but so I was at a comedy show one time. I was not performing in this comedy show. I was watching a comedy show in a coffee shop, and it was a very crowded room.
Okay.
And this coffee shop, do you know those cheap outdoor chairs that are made out of very thin
plastic? Like the white plastic ones.
Yeah, the ones that...
I think I kind of know where you're going with this.
Yeah, so I sat down in one of these chairs. Mm-hmm. The chair was not happy about me sitting in
it. No.
And the chair, the leg, one of the legs shattered.
Perfect.
And I landed on a concrete floor.
Oh. Yeah.
Very loud.
Yeah.
Very loud. Everyone turns around. Because it's a nightmare. Any chair, like, I have a fear of sitting in. You know, I'm a large dude. I agree with you.
I'm right there with you.
And I have a fear. People who are not people of size, they don't understand chair anxiety.
There is such chair anxiety.
And so it's like, and you tell yourself, well, this, look. It's a chair. Look, it's made for Americans. You know, it's going to be fine.
Right.
Every now and then it's not.
Dirty plastic. Yeah.
The worst chairs I've ever sat in were folding chairs in Italy, where everyone smokes all the time.
Right.
And it's very thin.
They just smoke their weight away.
Oh, man. I've destroyed chairs on two continents.
Yeah?
Yeah. But that one was very embarrassing. Because usually if you, like, bend one, you kind of, like, you know,
you can be like, walk back by and be who bent that chair?
Right.
Did you get a reaction from the crowd?
I was probably so mortified. No? I think they just were like a gasp. You don't ever want to be the object. The object of a gasp or the subject of a gasp?
Subject of a gasp.
You don't ever want to be the subject of a gasp. And I was the subject of a gasp.
So there was a gasp. The crowd quieted down to see what it was.
Yeah, they went, and I was like, I'm okay.
How loud was it?
But inside, I was not okay.
Like a shot? Like
it sounded like a large man hitting concrete if his ass was made out of plastic.
Was it a slick? Jason, was it a slick concrete floor?
Yeah.
So did you slide any?
I don't remember. Everything.
But that's like a.
Yeah, it was a healthy smack.
That chair you describe, I don't think any new ones of them exist. I think they're just passed from place to place.
I believe Right. They're in people's family.
They don't make those
cursed
anymore.
Objects.
Yeah, they stop making
them. They show up in your yard one day. Yeah.
When you're digging it up because it's landfill and they're. Did they dispose of the chair? Did one of the employees?
I gave the dude that owns the coffee shop was there, and I gave him the chair, and he did not seem happy that I had broken his chair.
Did you make any noises when you fell that you remember?
But here's what I think it was like. Ugh.
That guy was probably like, I'm out of $2 chair.
Yeah. Yeah. Margins are really thin at the old coffee shop.
Okay. Well, I will give you one of my, I have many humiliating stories. Of course I told the jet ski one once.
Jet ski one is legendary.
Legendary. So this one, comes from 2004. I am working at Virginia Tech and, living in West Virginia, but working in Virginia Tech. And I was working for the distance learning part. So are you familiar with distance learning? So you're like, I'm in Norfolk, but I can take a Virginia Tech class and watch it on TV. And so I was the one in charge of setting up the classrooms at Virginia Tech so they could broadcast to all. So there was one in Richmond. There was one in Norfolk. There was one in D.C. And then, of course, in Blacksburg, Virginia, where the classroom was. So the class was full. It was probably like a capacity of 200 students, kind of stadium seating. And I connected, I did a test with all of them, like, Norfolk, are you there? They're like, yeah, we're here. Richmond, yeah, okay. DC, yeah, we're here, great. And so I knew that they all, it was the same guy.
That's the distance learning accent.
Yeah, I gotta learn somewhere. And so they're all there, all classrooms are full, and I bend over, to plug in the overhead projector for the professor. And as I bend over, the ass of my khakis completely blow out. And the camera recognizes movement. You know how it's, so if the professor is moving this way, it'll catch it. The camera recognized that movement and zeroed right in on my ass.
Really? Wow.
So Blacksburg laughs. And then you hear, because everything's delayed by at least 3-4 seconds. So Blacksburg laughs, and then Norfolk laughs. Then Richmond laughs. And D.C. laughs.
Wow.
And then I walk back to the office with the back of my pants completely blown out.
Jason, can I say something?
Yeah.
I feel a lot better.
Good.
About my chair.
Hey.
Now, thank you so much.
I'm glad
I think it's
going to
be like, you know that the fish eating the little fish getting eaten by the big fish?
Yeah.
So now somebody needs to provide a fish to eat your...
Yep.
Yeah, actually, fish.
You got a big fish, Mike?
No, I mean, I think your story tops them all. I think you had the biggest crowd. You know, so it's a big.
It's not
scam.
About numbers, Mike.
I mean, well, with me, it was one guy. You know, but sure, the story is going to live on for years. I know, but you know, I don't have to confront those people or hear their reaction. But yeah, I think you topped it all, unless Pat can chime in.
Yeah, I have a million. I'm trying to think of one. I've been trying to think of one since we had that email exchange earlier. Did you already go, Mike?
Yeah, I did the screws.
The screws, Pat.
TV.
That's
screws.
Not embarrassing.
It's like a 20-minute story.
Yeah, no, it was humiliating. I looked like
it was humiliating. I agree with Mike.
I used the wrong screws in the wrong holes. I mean, come on.
I mean, it sucks, but I don't know if it's embarrassing.
Right.
He has an embarrassing story. He's holding out on this.
Well, think on it. Think on it, Pat.
All right.
What was your second topic?
The second topic was going to be, please stop. And
no, Jason, seriously.
I'll see you guys later. I'll
get out.
Go back to my car.
No, I worked the Jets Cowboys game the other day. Uh-huh. Huge crowd. I'm leaving. And, you know, at the end of a game, I mean, it's just people all over the place. And in the
sea
middle
of humanity.
And lots of them intoxicated. And so in the middle of this crowd, I see a woman with an infant, you know, a few months old. It was a small child.
Okay.
And she's throwing the baby up in the air.
No.
The up in the air thing.
I just got chills.
Yeah. in the middle of this crowd, cement.
No.
A cement ground.
No.
And I'm just like, what are you doing? You know, it's like, please stop. But she didn't, you know, of course I can't intervene on the infant's behalf. To her credit, the baby was smiling. But of course the baby's not going to remember.
I smile when I'm scared.
The baby, you know, was smiling, but not the time or place for that activity, you know? So
no, there's never really the time or place for that. I mean, people do that, and they did that a lot in the 80s and 70s, mm-hmm. I think. It's probably big in the 50s and 60s as well. I never got tossed.
Uh-huh. 40s, it killed.
Oh, man, 40s, it was just... That's what you did, because everything was going towards the war effort, and all you had was throw babies.
They had lots of babies.
And they were booming, and they were bopping.
Yep.
I mean, the baby's not going to remember the time she or he, I couldn't tell.
I probably would have.
If it was a boy or a girl, but, you know, so it's like, what's the point?
They were gender neutral.
Yeah.
Yes.
But,
okay, yeah, so please stop.
Please stop
throwing babies.
Yeah, when you see stupid activity, you know, please stop.
Pat, please stop. Geneva, please stop.
Oh yeah, well I think I have a story that would work for both topics.
Okay,
because I was a little bit embarrassed when it happened to me, but a couple weeks ago, I was headed to a friend's party, which I was late to, but because of this happening, I was standing outside of my apartment complex, and a guy came up to me, and I'm just wearing like normal jeans and a tank top, and I have like I don't know what was so funny about that, but I
and he was like, I found you on the internet. Someone gave your location.
Yes, I did. Yeah, so, and the only thing that I maybe could have tipped this guy off is that I have sunglasses that are like kind of cat eye sunglasses, right?
Okay.
I'm standing outside waiting for a lift. This guy comes up to me and he goes, Hey, and he like points at me, goes, you go to steampunk festivals? And I was like, what? And then he said, and then he goes, do you even know what steampunk is?
Oh,
and I was
what
like,
a challenge.
And I was like, yes, wait. And then he starts walking away and I was like, get back here. We're going to talk about this. And I was so upset that someone would like accuse me of being a steampunk, and when I look nothing
terrible
like that,
it's such an accusation.
And I was like, you can't just accuse someone of being a steampunk and leave.
Yeah,
he had a dirigible to catch. So
he's like, can't stand here.
And I did post about this on Twitter, and people were saying, well, why were you standing around with your, you know, sooty top hat and goggles like you are? And so I was very embarrassed, but that's also a please stop. Okay. Accusing
stop.
People of being like a weird subculture.
I like how he flipped from you. I assume that you're a part of this subculture too. You don't even know anything about this subculture. That's kind of like the two jerk moves. That's the one.
No, cat glasses, a regular tank top, and shorts. Steampunk.
Yeah, it's steampunk.
Stranger.
That I took one look at her and I knew that she knew nothing about steampunk.
But I went to the party and I was like, I'm sorry, you guys. I'm late. I just got accused of being a steampunk and I fought with a guy and they were like, this only happens to you.
And then he walks in after you like, I'm here for the party. Yeah.
That was an ABC special. I was accused of being a steampunk.
Best case scenario, that was somebody you know in the future who traveled back in time to create a diversion for you not to walk in front and get hit by a car or something.
Or,
I saved her life.
Are you a steampunk?
What? You know nothing about steampunk.
And I knew she'd be outraged.
And she survived.
Professor Sprocket saves the day again.
Are there, like, main colors for steampunk clothes?
Brown.
Copper.
A lot of brass.
Yeah, a lot of brass, a lot of pipe.
A lot of natural linen color.
Just think Back to the Future 3, when the train pulls up. That's steampunk.
That's steampunk.
That started a revolution.
That's all you need
there.
To know.
Oh, yeah.
I have the theory that Wild Wild West invented steampunk. I mean, the Will Smith film Wild Wild West.
What about Fievel Goes West?
Had nothing to do with steampunk.
I don't know, like a talking mouse is kind of a steampunk.
Was Fievel Goes West the somewhere out there?
Oh, I don't know.
Or was that that was an American Tale. Yes. Fievel Goes West was an American Tale sequel.
Yes.
Yeah.
God, because we needed one.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
So much story left.
Steampunk. So you don't know anything about steampunk. No, you know nothing about steampunk,
very little,
Mike.
Very little, but I think I've seen the goggles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know, that's all you need to see, yeah. Really.
That's the main thing, the goggles.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
I heard someone describe steampunk as goths discover brown, which I thought was a good description.
It's also very Burning Man, too.
Yeah.
Any headwear? Yeah. Is there a particular style?
Hat, top hats.
Metal goggles.
Yeah. Yeah. Need, top. Like an aviator cap.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah, the aviator cap.
Imagine Snoopy fighting, like, on the doghouse, like, the Red Baron.
Like, imagine what actor Billy Zane is dressed up like right now.
Okay. Like a pith helmet, I think, could be kind of steampunky, but it would have, like, a...
And I only mention that because I was at a screening of a movie in L.A., and after it was at Kristen's... I'm not even going to mention where it was, but... there was a little get-together afterwards, a little cocktail hour, and Billy Zane was there, dressed like a 40s biplane pilot. He had the jacket on, he had the goggles, the Phantom Billy Zane, the villain of Titanic that wasn't the iceberg, was there with, like, the scarf, the aviation jacket.
Was he going to walk on a biplane later on?
I don't know.
Were you like, please stop, Billy Zane?
I was, yes, I was, please stop, Billy Zane. Another part of this story, and I'm not dropping names to drop names, but there was this guy walking around, and he had a ball cap on, and he was trying to look unassuming. And he did that thing where, like, you know, you walk by somebody, and you're not there at a party with anybody, so you want to talk to somebody, so you kind of look at them in the eye and then kind of walk off and then go back, and then you look them in the eye. And I don't do it because it's creepy. He did it to us three times. Weird. And we're like, who is this guy?
Three walk-bys.
It was Jeff Bezos.
So weird.
Jeff Bezos, okay.
Yes.
Wow, okay.
So you didn't, like, follow him to,
another room? It, had he come up to us and asked us, like, I would have been like, okay, Jeff, so what do you do?
Was he glancing at you, think, because of your Amazon history?
I don't know.
Probably got a chip in his head that whenever he sees anybody, it, like, brings up their Amazon history. So he's just like...
I would say our servers are going to go down now, but they are already down.
They're already down. We're safe.
Yeah. Was it an Amazon hat?
It was like a dirty ball cap that would be in, like, his Chevy truck.
But you couldn't, no particular team?
Nothing that I remember.
A ball cap a steampunk would wear.
Yes. Yes. It was rather shocking. But yeah, Billy's not as shocking as Billy Zane in full.
Did he ever find somebody to talk to?
I don't know, because he kind of vanished after that.
Yeah, okay.
And Weird Al was also there, and he was standing behind us, and I was like, I can't say hello, because, you know, I don't get starstruck, unless it's Billy Zane dressed like a biplane pilot. But I do get starstruck for Weird Al Yankovic.
What if Weird Al went up to him, and he was like, hey, man, I'm the one with the name Weird in the name. Cool down. And then saved you guys.
Yeah, and Billy's just took everything off. You're right.
They had a duel, like a steampunk duel.
Yeah. What is a steampunk duel? What does that entail?
It would involve...
I like to imagine Cotton Eye Joe is playing in the background just for some reason.
It'd be like
reason.
A blunderbuss.
There is a lot of soot involved.
Yeah.
Like it's just rubbing soot smoke on your face.
Yeah. It's who can get the sootiest.
Yeah.
Maybe followed by wagon wheel.
We'll bring out a sootometer, and we'll see who's the sootiest.
What about Ken Burns presents steampunk?
It's gonna happen.
I would love it. I would love it. Ken Burns still with the same haircut he's had since 1989.
Yep. Same length. Yeah, it is amazing.
Yeah.
You never see it longer or shorter.
No.
The movie Wild Wild West paved new generations.
He must be one of those guys who goes to the barber every week. I mean, there's guys that do that. You know?
Yeah, like, just the little trims.
Yeah, they get the trim every week.
Yeah.
He kind of has a power pop haircut, doesn't he?
Yes.
What, like he's a member of, like, the Smithereens or something?
He could play power pop, pop pop.
I want to say he's in, like, the Ruba News or something.
Yes.
He's got a very Ruba News. Yeah.
Rubino's.
Is it Rubino's?
Rubino's.
Yeah, Rubino's sounds better. Change it.
I support you in that.
Thank you.
Alternate pronunciation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the West Virginia pronunciation.
Yeah, man, all we listen to is Rubino's.
When they play in West Virginia, they're billed as the...
Come on down, Rubino's are playing.
And then we're going to go over to Rubidoux's and eat.
We're going to go eat football food with Garth Brooks.
Well, that's the end of an episode if I've ever heard one. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, you can't top that.
Yeah, okay. Are we ending it?
Quick fade down. No.
Quick fade down?
I just texted one of my best friends of long, long time life, and I said, what's my most embarrassing? I actually sent, what's my most embarrassing stour is what I wrote.
I think now that's it. You're experiencing your most embarrassing.
I have so many, and I'm trying to think of one, and it's killing me because when I try to think of something, I don't know it. But when it just comes to me like off the cuff, I'll know it. But
you just have buried them too deep down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've blocked them.
Give me, how about this? Let's conjure one out of me. Give me a time frame of my life.
Middle school.
Yes.
And let's do like a 20 questions to suck it out of me. Seventh grade. Go ahead.
Was there a talent show?
There was.
Did you do it?
I think I did it the year before, and I did a lip sync routine to the Blues Brothers version of Everybody Wants Somebody to Love.
Oh, Pat.
That wasn't embarrassing.
It wasn't?
We rocked
talent
it.
Talent show, a vein popped out on right by your eye. Okay. I just want to let you know that. You may want to tell your doctor.
My fourth grade talent show, I dressed up like a soldier in Vietnam.
Uh-huh. I played both Blues Brothers, by the way. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Perfect. Like side to side.
Yeah, I was in a costume.
Like Victor Victoria.
I had a costume, and it was I
dressed up in like army gear with three other guys, and we lip synced. I Want to Be a Drill Instructor from the Full Metal Jacket soundtrack.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah, it was terrible.
Lip syncing at a talent contest should not be allowed. But
it's not a talent.
But we were
unless
allowed.
You're really good at it.
But
like now it is.
Yeah.
Kids.
Drag queens are good at it.
Yes.
But.
Yes.
But that's a whole other thing.
Kids, no. You're not good at it. Okay, that was humiliating.
If you have the chorus line of puppets attached to you, you ever see those? Those guys in the subway, they're dancing around, and it's like...
That's what I mean. That's what that was me as the Blues Brothers.
Why isn't Zach doing a chorus line of puppets? He's just performing all of a chorus line with puppets.
I just gave him his act.
One!
He's going to need more money.
He's going to need more money for the line of puppets. Yes. I do agree with that. I do agree
and
with
it was
that.
A Catholic school, and I was on a mission from...
There you go. I'm
from sadness.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't my most embarrassing moment. I rocked that. Okay. I really, rocked that.
Did you have a girlfriend or, like a weird kissing embarrassment? I don't know why.
Pat, did you have a kissing embarrassment?
Did I ever have a kissing embarrassment?
I was trying to keep it clean.
Have you had a kissing embarrassment, Mike?
No. I'm sure I have. That's a good point. Let me think about middle school, junior high. It's not coming to me.
The Germans have to have a compound word for kissing embarrassment.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yes, that's a good point. Yeah. shucks, guys.
Huh.
I remember once I... finally made it in seventh grade. I finally made it over to the cool kid's house that went to the public school that skateboarded. Because in the Catholic school, I was the only skateboarder, and I wasn't good. But right.
But you did it well enough to fit the bill for your Catholic school.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, I was the best one there because no one did it. But
it sounds like a Springsteen lyric.
But the guys in the middle school who were my age doing that. Uh-huh. Who were like listening to ska and doing skateboarding. And I was like, oh man, I got to get in with those guys
doing skateboarding.
Yeah. They were cool. And they had names like Dean and, you know, Spaz, and like they had all these names. And I was like, man, I got to hang out with these guys. And I finally got the invite to Dean's house. Uh-huh. And
what ska music was playing?
Oh man. I mean, we had a
Boss Tones.
Yeah, I had a boombox that had the like sleeve that popped open like a cassette deck, but you could put CDs. So I had the advantage. So I was like, everyone wanted me to hang out and bring the boombox with the CD thing, uh-huh. which took like 12D batteries, and
lasted 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. And so, God knows what we were listening to, and so I get the invite to Cool Dean's house, and.
Spaz had nowhere to live. Spaz was staying with a grandma.
Yeah. He was on the streets.
Okay.
And so, I'm like, you know, we're all trying to ollie. None of us have any idea what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I go to try, and the driveway was flat at his house, and I was just standing there, you know, trying. It was my turn to try. They're all watching, and I try to do it, and the board flips out and leaves me like sideways in the air, and I like land like crushing my like side and stomach, and I get the wind knocked out of me for the first time, and I wake up. I stand up, and I like, can't really breathe or catch my breath, and I think that I'm like dying.
Yeah,
and I think like without a breath and whatever version of a voice I had without breath and at seventh grade, cusp of being 13 or maybe I was 13. All I was trying to say with whatever voice I had then was, I need an adult. I need an adult.
Oh no.
And I was saying that.
What, Pat? And Spaz, do you know what he's saying?
And I think I
Spaz is just shrugging.
I think the first thing I said was, I can't talk right now.
So you use whatever little breath you had.
To say, like, I can't talk right now. And then I ran away saying, I need an adult.
I mean, that is supreme comic. Yeah. Comic instinct.
And Dean got married last year, and I was invited to his wedding.
Was Spaz there?
Spaz gave the best man speech. Spaz was best man. Wow. He honestly was. He honest hand to Bob was, and he gave the speech. And when I signed his card and like put in the envelope that night, I think at the bottom of it I wrote, P.S. I need an adult. ...
And they're probably like, who the hell wrote that in our car?
No, I signed it. He knows it was me, and I gave him a check. So, yeah. So, Dean, if you're not listening, which you're not, hope you're good.
Mike, did you ever skateboard?
No. I mean, they were around.
Let's end the show.
Okay, that's okay.
I remember when they became a fad a little bit when I was young, and the big wheels, the urethane wheels were the thing at the time. It was like, oh, your skateboard had to have urethane wheels.
Yeah, and those are the see-through ones, right?
Yeah. Before that, you just have like steel wheels or something, right? They were like very
Rolling Stones, 1987.
Like, they were like modified roller skates, right? They weren't. Yeah. They didn't have the fancy wheels. But yeah, we'd go down a friend's driveway who had a little incline, and that was about all my skateboarding experience.
I couldn't do it. I was real bad at it.
I couldn't either. I'm really not coordinated, and mostly because I've been wearing glasses since I was 5.
Yeah.
I had a kind of humiliating experience about that, but it's just one of the, it's kind of a cute story in comparison to everything we've talked about, which is that I didn't have glasses. I was probably like 5 or 6, and I got my first pair, and I went back to school, and this kid came up to me, and he goes, "What happened to your face?" And I was like, everything.
It was Spaz, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like, first of all, unintentional great Milhouse impression.
Yeah. It was like that. He was definitely like, happen to your face. I was like, I think I started crying, and it was kind of this thing where it's like, I know this moment is gonna affect me for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. So in that way it's pretty humiliating, but I don't know, I guess I turned the whole glasses thing into a personality trait.
Yes.
But it was definitely like a huge, like in the 80s, no one was like, glasses are cool. They were just like, oh, they're so ugly, take them off.
But glasses were cool. Like Elvis Costello was cool in glasses.
Those were the glasses I always wanted as a kid. I always wanted Buddy Holly glasses.
Yeah.
But instead I had giant pink pastel glasses.
Nice.
And I just saw a pair at the Brooklyn flea market that were just like the ones I had when I was a kid. And I was
now
like,
they're cool.
Yes, yeah. They now were definitely cool. Yeah. So. It's back. I was cool before it was a thing. So
before cool was cool.
Yeah. And you want to end the show on that?
Well, I think that killed it.
I did think of a couple other embarrassing stories.
Okay, Pat, what do you got?
Do you want?
Did your friend get back in touch with you?
Like, yeah, he gave me one that I don't even know if you guys want to hear about because it involves,
hey,
going to the bathroom in your pants. which yeah, well, I don't know.
Well,
we
I think you pretty much let the cat out of the bag.
I'm surprised
there.
You got this far before.
And then
because that's the universal. Yeah. That's the universal.
Yeah. I'll just fade down on that one.
And then there's another one that was more recent, a couple of, like a year within the last year or so, where I was at work.
So and, we can choose either work or filled pants.
And I didn't know that there was a hot mic on, and there was a hot mic on, and some people heard me. Say
boom!
Something.
I want that story.
Okay, it's really dumb, and I don't know what I was doing, but I get really...
Wait, was this at FMU? Where was this?
No, we did that here once in studio, and some people were tweeting, like, hot mic, and we were like, we thought the show was over, like, Tom had the mic up, and and I don't know what we were saying nothing bad, but it happened once.
That
and,
ought to entertain those idiots.
Yeah,
it happened once in the studio also, but no, I was at work, and... I get really, you know when I get tired, like I don't drink, but like I get loopy. And,
yeah, you do.
And like, it's not good. Like I go down hard. Like when I hit a wall of tire of exhaustion, I just go from like the top of the hill to the bottom immediately. Mm-hmm. I get weird. I've passed out on that couch several times. It's not good. And when I get tired at work, at my day job, I just try to like, I take walks. I try to like wake up. We have like I work doing this like media thing where like there's like a studio and then there's a room full of editors where I am, and then so the studio's in the next room, but we have a teleprompter in there that feeds back to the room with the editors, and that room has the controls to the teleprompter, so the person can just sit there at the computer and dial, and they have a monitor for an audio mic that's in the studio so that we can hear what the person is saying and we can go at the speed of their voice. So, long story long, I go and just try to blow up some steam in the hallway, and somebody was like, somebody was talking about the Red Robin jingle, which is Red Robin. Yum. And I couldn't get it out of my head. Mm-hmm. And I just started saying it to myself and like making myself laugh on my little walk away from work. and then I like, I'm still like, I got ants in my pants. I have to leave. I'm like, you know when you're exhausted, but you drink caffeine, but it just wakes your body up, but you're like, your mind's not awake and you're effing weird.
Right.
That happens to me all the time at work, and I can't calm down from it. So I'm trying to like walk it off. In the hallway, outside, I come back in, I like pace around the studio a little bit, and I'm still shaking out the sillies, and I'm going, Red Robin, yum, yum, Red Robin. I just keep doing this dumb thing over and over. The mic's on, the interns and my coworkers are all in the editing suite, and I like come back in, close the door, the air conditioner's on, and my coworker, Raul, pulls me aside, and he's like, hey man, like he brings me back into the, he turns off the speaker, brings me back into the studio. He's like, hey man, the mic was on that whole time. And I was like, oh, so you heard me. He's like, doing the Red Robin jingle over and over. And I was like, yeah, nope, no problem.
That's it's a not, very specific cry for help.
It's not my most embarrassing thing, but it's like the most recent weird thing that like no one else I know would be stuck doing that at work. But Jason and Mike probably hear this and they're like, yep, that's you.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
That's you. No. Like, they believe it because they work with me every week. And I get weird around this time to midnight.
I mean, like, 8:15.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never really seen you talking to yourself. I mean, you know, I live alone and, you know, I have the opportunity.
Do you talk to yourself?
No, I surprisingly not. I know a lot of people, they, you know, will do it. It's not that unnatural thing to do, but I don't know. I don't really do it as often as, you know, you would think.
I talk to myself if it's a situation where I'm trying to, like, logic something out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, like, walking down the sidewalk. Like, could it be that thing? You know, but I don't. Or if I'm, like, memorizing lines and I'm running lines, I'll say them out loud as I'm walking. And that probably looks a little disturbing.
Well, I'm always mentally
talking. It's New York, so.
I'm always mentally talking to myself.
Yeah.
But I don't feel the need to say it
out loud. Right, yeah.
Know?
I'll like vocally talk to myself when I'm trying to like make myself do stuff.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Yeah. I gotta go. Uh-huh. I'm like, who's?
I'm gonna park the truck over there and walk up the hill to the Riverdew show.
I'm like, who is that? Who is telling me? Okay. Yeah. All right, Jason.
Yeah.
And sometimes I will refer to myself.
That's you.
Yeah. All right, Jason. Let's go.
I say things at my house and sometimes out loud when I'm walking that are just like, especially if I have a lot of, have anxiety just by definition, but when I'm trying to fight it off and I don't even know I'm doing it sometimes, I just go, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I say it's fine out loud. Yeah. And then I have headphones on at work and sometimes I blast just like white noise or like an ocean like sounds for like I have bookmarked YouTube pages of 11 hours of ocean noise so that I could block out my coworkers. But because I leave it running. Yeah. And I just unmute it. But when it's on and I've blocked out sound, I don't notice that I'm doing it because it's become a habit.
Right.
So sometimes I'm just sitting at my desk. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. And I'm not doing anything.
And your coworker comes over and taps you on the shoulder and is like, we all heard you say it's fine.
They
like,
don't.
Actually, it's not fine.
At this point, they don't because they're like, that's the Red Robin guy.
Like, this is a little creepier than the Red Robin
HR,
thing.
There is a file
that
mentions, number one, Red Robin.
Right.
Number two, it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
And they also look at, like, the logs of internet bandwidth that's been spent on 11 hours of ocean sounds.
But talking to yourself, you know, to me, it was always a little alarming when somebody was talking to themselves, you know. And I've had experiences. Actually, recently, I was at a bar. There's a guy sitting next to me. I didn't know him. You know, he started sort of aggressively mumbling to himself. Which is not a good sign, you know. And
what was he drinking?
He was just drinking beer.
Yeah.
But I don't know where he came from. So I'm a little...
Sub-basement.
No.
This second.
This was at a different bar.
Okay.
It wasn't at Massive's.
Okay.
But so I'm always a little leery of the people who are talking out loud. But with cell phones now, you know, you hear people talking by themselves, but they're on a phone. But it's so... You know, when you first hear it, it's like, are they on the phone or are they talking to themselves? So it's a little more common, just people walking down a sidewalk talking out loud. But I'm always a little leery of the, you know, even though I know it's like, you know, you're just sort of having that conversation in your head anyway. So why not say it? But, you know, I'm a little skeptical when I see people talking to themselves. Well, maybe that's why I mute it all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
I talk to my pets.
Okay.
Oh, I talk to my pets. That's different.
That's natural.
I feel like, I also feel like past a certain point, because I live alone.
It's the gateway. Talking to pets is the gateway.
You're kind of like fooling yourself that you're not, that you're, because I think there's a healthy line of talking to the pet.
Right.
And then there's a certain point where you're not talking to this pet anymore.
Well,
you're talking to yourself. Through talking to
Right.
There's something that's not healthy, which is having an imagined argument with someone, which I find myself doing every once in a while. And I'm like, what am I doing?
Oh, no. I've had those at great length. Oh, no.
Really arguing with yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, when you have a breakup with somebody or you get laid off from a job.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I couldn't sleep at night.
Yeah.
You know, it just keeps going, you know, and it's like, I'm not out loud. It's all,
it's all in
my head,
that's a little,
but it goes
that's
on,
trouble.
You know,
I need to get some of that out.
Yeah.
It goes on for a while, you know, it takes a while before you get off of that.
Another thing I've talked to myself at work, and caught is
you don't have to do this
in the bathroom. Like I'll go to the bathroom.
It's coming out.
I'll go to the men's room.
Pat.
And if I hold in a pee for a really long time.
Oh, my God. Well, this has been Slice of Life.
Yeah, okay.
And then
he's setting me up for something, so that it won't be like
I overheard myself say this out loud, and it gets worse.
It gets worse than saying when you're holding in a pee for a long time?
No. I go to the bathroom to finally, like, relieve myself, and I finally make it to the urinal, and I'm peeing, and I exhale. And I heard myself say, I think I said...
Thank you, Jesus.
No, I think I said, oh, yeah, no problem. I said, oh, yeah, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
No problem. I said, no problem. And then I realized, and then I could hear
the belt of somebody in a stall. That, so I was like, oh, sorry. All right.
Well, there's something.
What's the time code
there's
on that?
There's something to edit.
What's the time code?
Oh, I have no idea.
All right. Well, I said, oh, fudge. And they were in there. And then I was like, well, I'm going to try to pretend like I was on the phone and be like, yeah, it's really no problem at all.
Still peeing.
Yeah. But then I was like, you know what? I can get this done before that person leaves the stall. Mm-hmm. And I did.
What?
Geneva?
Yeah. Can I ask you one question, Pat? How do you hold in a pee for a long time? Listen to it 11 hours of Ocean
Sex. Yeah.
That's impressive.
That's a great question.
That's impressive.
It explains a lot, sure.
Your thank you, Jesus comment made me remember my government teacher in high school. He would use the upstairs bathroom, which not many people would go into, but when you walked in there, he would be there in there standing at the urinal, pants around his ankles, using the bathroom while singing Jesus Loves Me.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah.
That's how it's done in West Virginia, guys.
Man.
As soon as I'm finished up here, I'm heading out to the Ruben News Show.
And he's ready for the football.
I had a summer job in a supermarket, and the owner of the store just would, you know, he'd be in the stall, and just like, he was doing number two. But, you know, the moaning of like, pleasure was just like, and it was more than once. I caught him doing this, and I'm like, really? You know, you got to carry on like that, you know, just when you're relieving yourself?
I was actually going to say something about that, because sometimes you are in, like, next to someone in a stall, and they're just like, oh, yeah! And they're just, like, making noises.
Here we go!
Yeah, and they're just like, oh, Lord! Yeah. Sometimes they're singing, they're like, oh! I don't know, this is what happens in the women's restroom, but I'm like, well, stuff is happening.
It happens in the men's as well. Yeah. Like, never thought that one would go!
Like, you can hear people sweating. Like,
we have really, we've run the gamut here.
The name of Best Show.
This isn't Best Show. This is Slice of Life.
Slice of Life, yeah.
This is Slice of Life.
Not a spinoff.
I was going to present to the listeners tonight, you know, the opportunity to name the show that we do when we fill in every now and then. And I think we came upon it today already. Mm-hmm. I think it is Slice of Life.
Okay.
Because really, what else did you get here tonight?
Yeah. With the subtitle, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. And what was the other one?
No problem.
You just are ready with just any kind of polite phrase.
It's like a positive.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I sometimes also say it's, you know what, everything's great. Yeah. And we're cool. I say a lot.
What's wrong with it's all good?
It's all good.
It's all good. Yeah.
You know, we're cool. No
it's
problem.
Still out there, it's all good. Is that still going or is that?
No,
is that
it's all good. I think it's still going.
It's still going.
I don't think you can kill It's All Good. Many have tried.
It's not up there with No Worries, though.
It's not as big as No Worries.
Yeah. You know, I said, because of all that discussion, I said to my, via email to my boss today, I said, you're welcome to her, thank you. And it felt like I was saying, F you.
Yeah, because you didn't say No Worries.
No, because saying you're welcome.
Oh, yeah, sounds like sarcastic.
It seems, sounds wrong. Yeah. It feels wrong because it's used so little these days that it feels like you're really sticking it to them by saying you're welcome. And I felt like I was going to HR talking to myself.
I heard an interesting phrase. I don't know what's going on, Bayonne. One of my friends is driving a cab. I wish he could have called in tonight and give you the story himself. Mm-hmm. But he drives a cab. He was waiting for somebody at a ShopRite. The guy came in. He loaded groceries in the trunk. But then he disappeared for like another 10 minutes. So, you know, he can't just hang out and wait for customers, you know. So the dispatcher is like saying, you got to go. And he's saying, well, there's already groceries in the trunk. You know, I got to wait until he comes back. So he comes back, you know, 10 minutes later. He's got a friend with him. And by this point, you know, the dispatcher is on the radio like, you got to leave. You know, this guy wanted to wait for some more time. Or no, the dispatcher said, you got to charge him $5 extra for waiting. And then that set him off.
Okay.
So he starts cursing my friend out.
The guy that bought the groceries.
The guy, yeah, we had to wait for.
This is at the ShopRite.
The fair.
The ShopRite over by the laundromat and over by Frank Theaters.
The main hub, yeah.
Yeah, I know that one.
Oh, that's Stop and Shop.
Where's the ShopRite?
It's right on Avenue C. In the 20s.
I don't think I ever shopped there.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
So the dispatcher isn't helping things by saying, you know, he's got to pay the $5. You know, get him out. You know, the dispatcher is telling him to get him out of the car. You know, to like take his groceries out of the trunk. So he actually starts doing that, and then the guy really flips out, and he tackles my friend on the sidewalk. Yeah, he tackled him. So he hurt his wrist. He hurt his back.
Terrible.
His glasses went flying. Somebody came in to intervene for him. You know, to help out. So then there's like a standoff. And then, you know, he's calling the police. He got a picture of the guy.
And he got his groceries, too.
But at one point, the guy who tackled him said, you know, when he was inflamed because he said that my friend had broke his yogurt, which, you know, I thought that was like an interesting term of phrase. It's like, yeah, you broke. And then, you know, he said he got into a discussion. I don't think he did.
Was it a big yogurt? Was it a go-gurt?
I just was, you know, curious about the phrase. Like, how do you break a yogurt? You know, like, was the top open? He said that the top wasn't open. So, like, how else can you break a yogurt? So, in his mind, this guy thought his yogurt had been broken.
Maybe fruit was on the bottom, and he likes to be the one to bring the fruit to the top?
Yeah, who knows?
Also, a very aggressive guy to be into yogurt.
Right. Exactly.
There's a brand of yogurt that comes in little glass jars.
Oh, so you think it was...
Oh, yeah,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, maybe he got one of the... His fancy yogurt got broken.
Also, this dude's pretty unhappy.
He broke my yogurt. Yeah.
He may have not been able to grab my yogurt. Herb.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe just a plastic bucket of yogurt got punctured somehow.
Yeah. It's fine.
You burst my
yogurt.
It's fine.
Yeah,
my friend said there was no leakage. So, yeah, that's
a go-gurt.
But
it was a gon-gurt.
Yeah, yes.
So, anyway, it turned out this guy was well-known by the police in Bayonne. So, he's a local drug dealer, and they were familiar with him. And
okay.
So, he'll get his comeuppance.
I would just like to say I don't have anything to do with this situation.
Right.
I don't want to get tied up with a local drug dealer.
Yeah. Bayonne is wild. And... can you imagine stealing someone's groceries and just being like, I wonder what's in here? And you're like, I guess I'll make something out of what I stole.
So did he end up with the groceries in the end, or did the guy pull his groceries out of the car?
He called an Uber.
And put him in the Uber.
Yeah, he got him into the Uber.
When he was transferring the groceries from the cab to the Uber, is that when he noticed the yogurt was broken?
I think it was in that
okay. He's like, oh!
Yeah.
He's doing an inventory, quick inventory.
Right. He's like little Smokies, Vienna sausages.
Zebra cakes are
all right. I'm a yogurt.
Broke it.
Oh. I think that's a great note to end Slice of Life, guys. Pat, anything to plug?
I had an idea to end this show that I wanted to loop back into the beginning. And since I'm editing this, hear me out. What if we recorded the intro at the end? And here's how we could do it. We all say our name, and then I or Jason or both will say, welcome to Slice of Life. The fill-in show for the best show this week. We will now fade into the Slice of Life gang talking already in progress. And then
creepy.
And then, and then we fade down, and then I'll take that slice at the end, and I'll put it in the beginning.
But it's the end now. You're setting it up for the ending. You can't move it.
Don't you get it? It'll be a continuous episode. It'll be a continuous loop. Yes. It'll be perfect.
So the idea is for the listener,
yes,
make sure this episode is on repeat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Download it.
Okay.
Put it in its own playlist.
Get an iPod.
Yeah.
And just put this episode.
Or just set it on repeat. If you listen to Spotify, it's easy. Whatever you use, so, just hit it. Hit repeat right now.
We can do plugs now, but like at the very, I think the last thing we should do is say, hi, I'm blank. Hi, I'm blank. Hi, I'm blank. Welcome to Slice of Life. We're going to now fade up to the Slice of Life game. Already in progress. And then you just fade down. And I'll take that, put it in the beginning. It'll be
but
like,
you don't need to put it in the beginning. Because it automatically will do it.
No, no, but
the player does it.
It'll be the first thing people hear. Trust me, and it'll be the last thing people hear.
Mike,
we're going to pretend we're starting.
No, no, let's get the plugs out of the way. Geneva.
I don't have anything to plug. Do you have anything to plug, Jason?
Well.
Oh yeah, you have a new podcast.
Well,
I'll introduce it for you.
Oh. Well,
Broken Yogurt with Jason Sims.
Broken Yogurt with Jason Sims. So can I actually do a plug? Yeah, no problem.
I'll give you your first rating. Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
It's fine.
Can I do an actual plug?
Yeah, yes, yes. Okay.
Well, number one, if you're ever in Huntsville, Alabama, and you want to see some fine comedy.
I'll never be in Huntsville.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we won't allow you. We won't allow you in Huntsville.
I'm not allowed back.
Yeah. Come to Shenanigans Comedy Theater. Nice. There's a good chance I will be there.
Yeah.
If not doing something, I'll just be there.
And this is a new thing. This is a new theater?
New thing, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's it going?
It's all right, but it's new.
It's fine.
You know how that is. It's fine.
How long a drive from Birmingham?
From Birmingham. You can't drive from Birmingham. You can't drive to it, but from Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's probably about, oh my goodness. Oh, it's far. It's like a...
2 hours?
Hour and a half.
That's not bad.
That's not
bad. That's like driving a Trenton.
About two from Nashville.
Yeah.
I've driven to Nashville to see comedy.
About two from Nashville. Yeah.
3 hours from Montgomery?
I don't know.
Okay.
I wouldn't know.
So go to Shenanigans.
It's fine.
North Alabama.
It's fine.
So anyway, that's number one. But the number two thing is I'm starting a new podcast. And so if you want to have a conversation with me, mm-hmm. a 30-minute pleasant conversation with me, email converjasons@gmail.com. Converjasons.
I can't believe that wasn't taken.
It wasn't.
Wow.
And my friend Carmen is collating these requests.
Okay.
And I'm out of the loop, much like Jeffrey Goins' father in 12 Monkeys. I've taken myself out of the loop.
there's a reference.
Yeah. I was recently at the Eastern State Penitentiary where they.
Oh, okay.
I'm all 12 months.
You're writing the.
So, anyhow, email that, and my friend Carmen will set up a time.
Converjasons@gmail.com.
And so I guess that the thing is going to be called Converjasons.
converjasons@gmail.com.
Yeah. So that I always feel gross doing a plug. I don't guess I should.
No, that's why we ask for plugs.
Is this like your previous podcast?
Yeah,
at all?
So I did a podcast years ago called Jason Sims is Calling You.
Yeah, I was on it.
And it's kind of like, yeah, you were on it.
I did that too.
Yeah. You were in Jason's Put You in Your Place.
I wasn't on the other one?
No. They're very simple.
You never asked me.
Yeah, they're very simple. Well, no, it was because.
At least you got on one.
You didn't get on either. Mike, did you get on any of Jason's podcasts?
I don't think so.
Well, if you'd like to be,
in your
email
face.
Converjasons@gmail.com.
Okay.
Great. That's awesome, man. I'm excited for that.
Oh, thank you.
That's really cool. Mike, any plugs?
No, not really. I'm just...
What's the next big thing for apmike.bandcamp.com?
Scripts?
Well, I sent out... I'm test marketing something. And we'll see what happens. But
you've got your marketing team just scrambling all the time.
I got a couple ideas I'm still working on.
A couple ideas.
Man whose TV gets destroyed.
Yeah, now.
Are you sending up pieces of the old TV?
No, man. I'm trying to. Maybe I can get it junk, right?
How much for tiny screws?
I was going to bring them in. I forgot to bring them in. I'll bring them in next week to just keep them. Yeah, keep them.
You should. Pat?
Stick or Treat. I'll be on that show at the Knitting Factory on the 28th. It's where comedians do parody covers of other comedians and do a spin on it.
And that show's been going for a long time.
Long John time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long John time.
Long John Silverware time.
Are you allowed to say what comedian you're...
I'm
Louis C.K. Yeah. No, he's going to be Louis C.K.
I'm going to do an interpretation of this year's Joker.
Interesting. Doing a Louis C.K. joke.
That'll be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be no problem for me.
No problem.
You got the elf puppet back there. And at the same time...
You were doing Ray Romano there for a second. I'm like, I think you're onto something now.
Maybe I go out as Ray and I just say, my brother-in-law's over here. Forget about it. Why'd you wake the kids? Now you woke the kids. All right.
I think you change it to Ray Romano.
Yeah.
All right, I'm dressed like the Joker. I use my wife's shampoo, and it's hair dye, and now my hair's green. Are you kidding me? Now the kids are up. What are you?
All right, so.
So you don't need to go see it because you heard it.
At the same time, the same day, hours earlier, you get on the subway. You get on the Amtrak. You go where? You go to the
UCB.
Get
on the Amtrak.
You go to the UCB West.
You pull right into Penn Station.
And you go see Jason Gore's Midlife Crisis.
Yeah.
And tell him Pat sent you.
UCB Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen. I'll be there. I'm going to try to be there before the old
thank you.
Joker makeup goes on.
That'd be great. So, yeah, no, could you wear the Joker makeup to it?
Yeah, I can do it.
We'll have security usher you out.
I'm going to make your one-man show about me.
Yeah.
As an
audience
member.
We'll be on Pix11, like, yeah, they took this Joker guy out.
It's a very short ride by the ridge.
God, I'm still recovering from that. I saw it last night. It's a trip, man.
Well, I guess, guys, we've come to the point where we do the intro.
All right.
So I guess so I'll go first.
Yeah, and the way it'll loop, Jason, is I'm going to take it out of the end, put it in the beginning, and
can
not
leave it.
Can you leave
it in the end as well? So you're not going
to
leave?
I won't leave it in the end. That way it starts the beginning,
okay,
and then it goes to the end, and it's okay. Like, ready? We're going to do it. And then it
so then
goes
before,
back to the beginning.
Before we
I can leave it in the end. I can leave two. I can bookmark it, too.
I don't think
bookend
you need
it.
To put it at the beginning because it's going to repeat.
Let's just do it.
It's going to repeat. But let's – so let's
– Do you want to fully professionally plug your show? Or,
no.
Okay.
Yeah, you did it. So let's just say good night.
All right. So good night.
So this is the ending now.
This is the ending.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for Geneva, Jason. Thank you for being here on Slice of Life.
This was so fun.
We always applaud our guests.
Yeah, it's been fun. Maybe next week the internet works.
Yes.
We'll find out. And you will too. On Slice of Life.
Okay, now we're going to do
okay,
the
so
intro.
Okay. We're going to go this way. I'm Jason.
Uh-huh.
You're
Mike.
No, so we'll start over. We'll start over. So.
And then am I doing that we're going to go into our team already?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
After Jason says his name, so.
Okay.
I'm Jason Gore.
I'm Mike Lisk.
I'm Pat Byrne.
I'm Geneva.
I'm Jason Sims.
You know, I think we should do it one more time because Jason wasn't quite on mic there.
Yeah, sorry yeah. About
Let's start from the beginning again. Okay. Jason?
Oh, my God. Okay.
And do you want to say your last names? I
don't have to. No,
it's up to you.
Say your last names. Oh, you don't have to if you don't want to.
Yeah, maybe
whatever.
Geneva shouldn't.
Yeah, I never say my last name.
They're like, where's she located?
Because, they're already trying to stalk her in Brooklyn. Yeah, okay.
I'm triangulating the
All right, I'll cut out your last name.
Wait, it's already... Okay.
And...
I'm Jason Gore.
I'm Mike Lisk.
I'm Pat Byrne.
I'm Geneva.
I'm Jason Sims.
And we're going to tune in to
Slice of Life.
And you're listening to Slice of Life, the best show fill-in show. Let's go to our Slice of Life gang already in conversation.
Yum.
I think that was fine.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. They're going to hate it.